This is the Technology Evangelist with Scott Schweitzer, and thank you for tuning in. This episode is brought to you by Solarflare Communications. With over 1,500 customers worldwide, Solarflare has been providing the server NIC cards that have accelerated electronic trading for a decade. Solarflare is now branching out to container networks, cybersecurity, and telemetry with new products coming out this summer. Solarflare, where neuroclass networks are made simple. For more, visit solarflare.com. This is episode number one on June 8th, 2017. Today, my guest is Ron Miller from CloudWIC, and he's here to talk about securing Hadoop clusters. So, Ron, we've known each other for, coming up on about 4 years now. Why don't you take a minute and kind of explain to everybody who you are, what it is you do, and that way they have some background.
Thanks, Scott, for having me. I've been working on in security for a couple of decades now. My primary career objectives have been trying to solve some of the major problems that each security practitioner encounters, things like visibility, what to do with that data once you've acquired it. One of my big pet peeves is working on active automated defenses. As a little background, I've been CTO of several security startups. Probably the most well-known one is Mirage Networks back in early 2000. I was also a chief security scientist at Extreme Networks for a while. You know, my objective has been trying to solve the visibility problems primarily at the network layer from the perspective of clients working at Compaq to the network fabric itself working at Extreme and ultimately big data and Hadoop.
Excellent. You know, now given all that, you lead into the big data and Hadoop piece. Can you give me an example of what a Hadoop cluster is and maybe even how a Hadoop cluster differs from, you know, more traditional HPC clusters?
Yeah, sure. So a Hadoop cluster is really just different type of computational design. Originally, it was specifically designed for storing and analyzing huge amounts of unstructured data. You know, the main key, I think, would be a distributed computing environment. It is an Apache project, basically sponsored by the Apache Software Foundation. And, you know, over the years, it's kind of matured from a simple distributed data management system for running things like MapReduce queries, et cetera, into a full-blown application framework for processing massive amounts of data. How it would differ from HPC, you know, one of the primary differences is where the data sits and how you access that data. In Hadoop, it's the data is distributed across the entire network, and the computation actually occurs where the data resides, as opposed to HPC, which is, again, a cluster of computers put together for the purpose of solving big problems like science or let's say mining or mineral exploration. Its data is typically centralized and then moved to the compute node, you know, as opposed to Hadoop, where it basically moves the compute to the data.
So this data centralization, is this, you know, what we call a data lake, or how does data lake fit into all this? Because I've bumped into that term a few times.
Yeah, so you got kind of two things, right? You got the big data moniker. It's essentially, you know, in my opinion, just a term that's evolving to describe very large amounts of structured, semi-structured, or unstructured data that has the potential to be mined for whatever type of job you're running. Doesn't really equate to any specific size of volume, but just kind of to throw it out there, we're talking about petabytes and exabytes, so millions of gigs and trillions of gigs. In Hadoop, a data lake is a data management platform, right? It comprises one or more clusters. They're used principally to process and store non-relational data, right? So we're talking things like log files, packets, net flow information, sensor data, you know, just all types of different information, whether it be structured or unstructured. And they can also hold traditional transactional type data, such as things that are pulled out of relational databases. In general, though, the big data lakes are designed to support different types of analytics and applications, not to handle transactional processing of the files themselves.
Gotcha. So now I've gone to the trouble of standing up my large Hadoop cluster and or maybe even a couple of clusters forming a data lake. How do I go about actually protecting these things? Because, you know, clusters are typically just, you know, large collections of machines on a network. So what type of security procedures do you put in place to ensure that, you know, outsiders don't get to this data?
Yeah. So, you know, first you have to kind of think, you know, Hadoop is extremely flexible, right, in the way that it's designed and stood up. But this flexibility tends to bring complexity to any type of security model you're trying to apply, right? it's a dynamic framework of features, functions, applications, and conceptually this makes it pretty difficult, or in the case of your recent article, very easy to not secure it, right? So my thought on this is that traditional security practices and concepts still apply, but I would treat it as just one component of your entire security posture, right? So if you think about it, the most, at least today, what I'm seeing, the most common approach for securing Hadoop is creating the walled garden, right? The old security model with a hard country shell around a soft GUI center, or a firewalling and using access lists to restrict access to the nodes and the data. However, you know, this is pretty complicated because you have to have tight control over logical access, API access, and even ultimately user access. One of the big problems with the traditional security models in this case is there's virtually no security once you're inside that walled garden or operating on the Hadoop cluster itself. You know, the data and infrastructure security depends on that outer domain, or that outer trust domain or protective shell of the network, and any applications that surround it. You know, once you penetrate that, if you're on the interior, pretty much have free run, right? So exposes all of the innards of Hadoop's operations to the networks, internode communications, replication, cluster functions take place between many machines, right? Because the computational nodes are now distributed across your data nodes, and they're using many different types of services. So, you know, if you want to apply security, and I highly recommend to the inner workings of the cluster, it does support, you know, all the standard tools like SSL, TLS for secure communications, Kerberos or different authentication methods, transparent encryption for data at rest, and different types of identity and authorization security. So, you know, the good news is that there's a pretty robust tool set out there. The bad news is that it does require a different way of thinking about the problem.
Have any closing thoughts on Hadoop and security?
Yeah, in general, you know, any security controls used for Hadoop, in my opinion, must meet at least some of the following criteria, right? You can't compromise the basic functionality of the cluster. You have to build a security infrastructure that scales in the same manner of the cluster, right? Velocities and data volume is going to continue to grow. It should address security threats to the Hadoop cluster or the data was stored within it, right? So, you know, as far as the future is concerned, you know, I think security practitioners should be looking at some of the newer techniques like user and network-based behavioral techniques, do some investigation and apply these. Security through obscurity, right? It's old security terms, but still very relevant. I believe these Hadoop clusters must be designed and architected to be resistant to any type of reconnaissance techniques, right? They just need to disappear off of the network. Active deception should be deployed, right? So start using some of the hacker techniques against them. If you can present a target-rich environment with real systems sitting next to semi-functional decoys, right? You don't need fully functional decoys. You can create a very target-rich environment, that type of rapidly propagating threats, advanced persistent threats, or even real human hackers are going to get very confused very quickly. The nice thing about those things is if anybody attacks or accesses one of the decoys, then it's obviously not authorized activity and pretty easy to attack. Separate secure trust domains, you know, we kind of talked about the walled garden and the interior, but in my opinion, we should consider each server, each application, and each service that's running on this as a separate trust domain, up to and including separating that completely from the host, right? One of the problems that is very hard to address is physical access to the machines, right? If you can move that trust domain out of the purview of the hardware or even the operating system and apply some of these techniques at the networking level, let's say using cellular flare cards, for example, or using built-in firewalls, I think that's going to advance the security quite a bit.
Outstanding. Anything else you want to jump in on this one, buddy? I think that pretty much covered it, right? Okay. Understood. So basically, you know, your concern is that once somebody gets through that soft GUI center, right, you have to make sure that you're securing the individual nodes within the cluster as well.
Yeah, exactly. And even, you know, for example, additional thought would need to be applied to how nodes and clients and applications are vetted even before you join them into the cluster, right? I mean, one of the interesting things is if a hacker or a malicious group can stand up their own node as part of the Hadoop cluster, then they essentially inherit all the access and you know, have free run of your clusters, right? So there's some additional things you can do to apply, you know, data-centric security. For example, you can apply tokenization, you can mask the data, and you can encrypt it at rest and in motion. Now, one thing to remember, and one of the reasons a lot of people that I run into don't implement all of the security, is it does affect performance, right? So we're kind of at this crossroads right now where Hadoop has traditionally been seen as a non-performant application. You copy your data up, it could take a week, take 2 weeks. You run your analytics on it, that could take another week to 2 weeks, and then you download the results of that data. Now, however, we're moving into, you know, the big data lake concept, which is not only do we have to operate at scale of petabytes and exabytes, the expected response time is also being driven to more near real time. So provide some challenges for us, and you don't want fail because of security, but at the same time, you can't let this data out.
Understand. Well, hey, Ron, I really appreciate your time. You know, in return, hey, you want to give CloudWake a quick plug?
Sure. Yeah. So at CloudWake, our first goal is to develop essentially a security data lake solution, right? We're using a hybrid Hadoop architecture, which takes traditional tools for the acquisition of telemetry and then applies it to the Hadoop infrastructure. Our primary tenants are velocity, variety, right? So initially we're going to be handling net flow logs and packet data at line rate, multiple 10 gig networks without dropping any packets or data. Two key tenets of that are democratization and ownership of the data. So the data, once it's written into Hadoop, can be extracted and applied to many different applications regardless of its original source. So we typically call this transforming the data, right? You want to use it in Wireshark? Fine. You want to use it as a machine learning or advanced analytics data source? Fine. And, you know, to that vein, we're essentially supporting traditional techniques, let's say security operations centers, for example, as well as the evolving security technologies such as machine learning and AI that's now being applied to the data.
Excellent. Well, Ron, thanks again for your time. I appreciate it. And thanks for being on the Technology Evangelist.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Hopefully we'll pick some other topics.
You got it, buddy. This has been episode number 1 of the Technology Evangelist.